first million. But now that they're going to use your direct mail, they pay 5% of the gross of everything above a million. That's percentage above base.
Okay, I got it.
Now, to give credit where credit's due, I was as ignorant as could be about any of this. I went to speak at a Gary Halbert seminar, and $7,000 per person seminar. I spoke at, I think, all four of them that he did. And this is many moons ago. And I was sitting there, frankly, half paying attention. And he said it not as anything he was teaching, just as a routine, here's how things work around here. And so he was telling everybody they couldn't hire him as a copywriter, but if they did, the fee was X dollars plus X percentage of the gross sales. And my head spun around like that girl on The Exorcist, because it never occurred to me. Now, as soon as I heard it, it made perfect sense, because, I mean, I'm an author. I wrote books, and you get a royalty. You do the work once. You hopefully get paid for a long period of time. It made perfect sense, because you are creating an intellectual property asset. But I had never heard of it being done. And I have never done a job since, never taken a client since, never been involved in a project since, without either a percentage of gross sales or some other type of a royalty on the back.
Right.
So those are the four ways that you start to get out of the billable hours trap, and you create a passive income after the fact.
And when you go up into, like, say, the usage, do you dictate to the client how many pieces they're going to send out? And that's part of your strategist's hat, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't. Obviously, at least I haven't been able to mandate it. Although there are some contracts that have use requirements, I've not done one of them, but I've seen them.
Right.
But by controlling the strategy and properly selecting the client in the first place, you have a reasonable frame of reference of what's going to happen.
Cool.
My preference, by the way, is percentage of gross sales. It's the cleanest.
And you trust the client to just tell you?
We'll get into that with the contract.
Got it. Okay, great. All right, well, Tony Austin has asked about royalty buyouts. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've done them. I will occasionally still do them. I obviously don't like them. I have one client who you absolutely could not do business with them without them, without a buyout or a cap. And consequently, about 5 years ago, I stopped doing business with them. But in some cases, I essentially created a marketing campaign for them that created a $400 million a year business, and my royalty cap out was at $200,000.
Wow.
And so that's unacceptable to me. But sometimes you have caps where there's an agreed upon royalty, but when you hit X dollars, it's over. Or you have buyouts. And when I do them, I tie them to a test period. So you may have a royalty percentage, and you'll have 3 months or 4 months to test the campaign. And anytime during that test period, if you see you have a huge winner that's going to make you a fortune beyond all imagination on earth, you can buy out the royalty. Usually in my contracts, it's either for 3 or 4 times the original fee. And if you go past the deadline, you can no longer buy it out.
And then how long is the test period, approximately?
It depends on what they're going to do. Sometimes 3 months, sometimes 4 months.
Right.
And again, because you're involved, you kind of know what that's going to look like.
Right.
And then there's sort of other variations on this compensation. Let me just go through that list pretty quick. And a couple of them are very important. One is a pure royalty, where there is no fee, and of course you would only want to do that with clients that are, you know, that are real, that you know, they use the work they get, they do a lot of advertising, they do a lot of mail, and even then, while I will occasionally, and I just did one this week, this way, and occasionally do it. I don't get a fee, but I get an advance against the royalty, kind of like the author of a book.
Uh-huh.
So in this case, there's a $25,000 transfer of money, but it's not a fee. They get to recover it from the royalties. There's use fee renewals. Some copywriters will charge X dollars to create this project, and then every year, if the use renews and they continue to use it, they pay another fee. And there's no royalty in between.
Okay. Well, do you update things annually like that under the conditions?
You can or cannot. I mean, you know, this depends on what you want to do.
Right.
When I have a royalty relationship, I tweak when results warrant it forever.
Sure.
Because I'm sharing in the revenue.
Right.
On a renewal fee, that would be even more limited. There are, as you know, beat the controls.
Yes.
And again, you want to do that. Somebody starting out might do it with a local merchant. But it's got to be somebody that you know legitimately will follow through and use the work and has a real control that they know the real results from. The big marketers routinely bring in copywriters to do beat the controls. I haven't done it on a spec basis in over a decade, but there are pro copywriters who seek these opportunities out. There's profit center ownership. This is anybody familiar with Jay Abraham and Jay's stories know that in several instances, Jay made a lot of money by going into a company that was doing nothing with their customers after the initial sale and creating a business behind their business to feed on their customers under their name, even putting up the money in some cases to do it, creating all the marketing and sharing in the revenues. There's copywriting tied to product. This is really interesting. I have a client, for example, his name is Lester Nathan, and Lester works with independent pharmacies across the country. And so he brings to them a hot product, which he finds or has developed or has private labeled. So, for example, when the arthritis drug was taken off the market, Lester came to the table very quickly with a topical arthritis pain relief product for which he had a great story. He writes the copy for the ads. He creates the in-store marketing materials, and he ties it all to the sale of the product. And so he not only gets money for the pharmacist using his ads and his marketing materials, but he gets a commission on all the product that is sold. And it's one turnkey package. There's also licensing by area, where you create a marketing campaign for a particular type of business. And this is important to beginners because they may do this at a local level.
Right.
And have a winner. And then you bicycle it to one user in each area, and each user pays you a fee and a royalty. I got a fax today from a client that I worked with on this type of project. He's in financial services. We created a marketing program, a series of three sales letters, direct mail pieces, designed to get appointments with particular prospects for the financial advisors. The use of that campaign, customized to a financial advisor, was sold area by area by area. And so, this week, 33 of them were sold at $9,000 a piece.
Wow.
So what is that? That's $270,000.
Wow.
Good. And so you would have got, for one financial advisor in one area, you might very well have gotten $5,000 or $9,000 or $10,000 to write that campaign. But if one can use it, 100 can use it. And when you make it area exclusive, its value immediately goes up. There's commissions from vendors, and sometimes there's a lot of compensation there. because you'll be introducing your clients to the use of media that they're not using. So, for example, if they're going to do a multi-step direct mail campaign, and you're going to have them do two voice broadcasts in between the direct mail steps, they never heard of voice broadcast before you told them about it.
Right.
And they got to get it done by somebody. And that somebody should be a vendor you control who pays you for bringing them the client. And so you have media placement, you have recorded messages, you have websites, you have email blasts, you have voicemail blasts, you have mailing lists. What a lot of people don't know, for example, is InfoUSA, one of the largest providers of compiled lists in the country, has a private label program where essentially they'll take their entire online monstrous website that sells and rents all their mailing lists and private label it for you with your identity, and you get a commission on all the lists. Then, of course, there's also barter. That's a way to get paid. I've done it very rarely, but occasionally.
It's just the backfire, I find, that someone always feels like they got screwed out of the deal somehow.
Well, there is that. Sometimes, though, you know, it's easier for a client to give you things than it is to write a check. And sometimes it's easy to get them as added concessions. I'm doing work for a trade show company, for example, and in addition to fee and royalty, I got a free booth in all their shows. Now, I don't want the booth, and I'm not going to have anything to do with the booth. But I'm going to turn around and piece the booth back out to a couple of my clients.
Uh-huh.
There's equity deals, and you have these opportunities when you're an established pro with a reputation. You also have them when you're a rank beginner dealing with the small business that may become a big business in the future. They're very tricky. I've done three of them in my entire life. One of them's worked out great. One of them, so-so. And one of them, worthless. Owning equity in privately held companies and being a minority shareholder is tricky. But sometimes there can be big opportunity here. And then last is self-promotion by riding on their marketing. And I could spend an hour on this alone. It ties to some things we're going to talk about the next night about how you promote yourself. But let me just give you an example as a way to think about it. I have books, as you know, and I always want to get my books promoted. But I don't like to spend my own money to do it because there's really no direct money in it. So the campaign that I just mentioned that I created that was sold to the financial advisors at $9,000 each.
Right.
That campaign includes a gift with appointment offer. So the financial advisor who gets the appointment from his prospect with this direct mail campaign brings them a gift when he arrives. The gift is a library of my books.
Cool.
So the direct mail piece promotes my books. So if there's 30 financial advisors who each send out 5,000 of these sales letters, that's 150,000 pieces going to business owners that have my books plastered all over them. It's not going to generate 150,000 appointments for financial advisors, but it is 150,000 impressions.
Right.
That advertising my book that I spent no money for. So you will find, if you study a lot of my work for clients, that I sort of weasel myself into the work in one way, shape, or form.
And then they look like a hero because they're giving something substantial to their clients.
Well, it actually gives them a branded thing instead of an unbranded thing.
Right.
But I'll work myself into somebody's sales letter as a testimonial. Because in order for me to be a useful testimonial, there has to be a paragraph describing who I am, which becomes promotional.
Right.
So that's a long list of things that you do to increase the compensation that you are getting for the work that you are doing.
Awesome. All right. Dr. Harlan Kilstein and Tony Ostian, and actually several people have asked, how do you price a job?
As I can. Actually, there's a, I have a pricing formula, and I pretty much stick to it. I don't take advantage of deeper pockets clients, and if I price a client out of my market, that's okay. I don't discount because that's all they can afford. And again, I've done it this way for 20 years. Now, the numbers have changed, but the formula has sort of been the same. I would say, before I give you the formula, that the way they both ask the question,
right,
it needs to be changed, and everybody needs to be working on their own frame of reference, because the word job is an evil word, just as is the word assignment.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, this is not, so I don't price jobs, I price projects, and by the way, I never use the word price either.
Oh, what do you say?
Fee. Doctors have fees. Okay? Hookers have prices. and arguably, we may be closer to the latter than the former in reality, but we don't want to acknowledge it with perception.
I agree with that.
So here's the formula for me. It's the estimated time required if I did it nonstop in days, which, of course, is not how most projects get done.
Right.
But so I figure out, if I locked myself in a room and did nothing but work on this, how many days is it? That gets timed my base days fee, which is the lowest amount of money that I will do anything for.
These are waking hours, I assume.
Yeah, well, my base days fee right now is $9,200. That's the lowest that you can come and sit and talk to me for.
Right.
So if I think a project's going to take 8 days, it's 8 times $9,200.
Okay.
That's the fee. Now, it may be discounted by the size, the scope of the project, or the time economy to me of doing multiple projects together. So if I can get into a zone and do, like you used the niche example earlier,
right.
If I can do weight loss for nurses and weight loss for pilots and weight loss for truck drivers and I can do them all at the same time, I'm going to get that done faster than if I do them sequentially.
Right.
And so I may discount a little bit for that when I put the project price together, the project fee. And then, of course, on top of that, there are royalties, which mine are typically 3% to 7% of the gross sales, depending on the category of business, whether it's a hard product or a soft product and so forth.
Wow.
So that's your answer for Harlan and Tony.
My head's spinning. We could spend a whole day just on, like, pricing projects out. Maybe we should, actually. We should, do it at your sales letter workshop. I'm sorry, you had me spinning off there for a second about how you got us at the sales letter workshop in Cleveland that I met you at, actually, earlier in January, about how you can, I've lost my train of thought. You've completely mind-boggled me.
Well, I mean, look, you could spend days on fees and fee structures alone. And the list we've just gone through is really the framework. You know, the big important idea is to get out of I'm hired to write 8 pages. And then you cut and piece these different compensation options together. And some of it now affects how we do contracts, which I want to get to next. But before I go to contracts, and then hopefully we'll even have some time for some questions, I want to mention two things. One is, you mentioned the sales letter writing workshop, which you were at.
Right.
Actually with a client of yours.
That's right.
And he's been a member of my inner circle for years as well. That was, as you know, a small number of people, round table, mastermind group, workshop, all kind of combined. I've been interested now and have been thinking about for about a year, as a result of my conversations with copywriters and my realizations of the differences in business practices, in doing that kind of an event, not about writing copy again, but about these business issues.
Right.
A 2 or maybe even a 3-day closed-door maybe 20 at the most, and we literally are working on everybody's business. If that happens, and from our own list, we have a waiting list at the moment of 8 or 10 who've expressed real serious interest. If that happens, it's not for the faint of heart. The fee will be somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 a person. And they'll have to come to beautiful Cleveland, Ohio.
In January again?
No.
it was snowing.
The sales letter writing workshop this year is in January again, though. And, and it's intense, long hours, hard work. It's not come sit in a chair and listen to people talk to you. And obviously the fee rules out some people. But if anybody on the call finds that interesting and thinks they might want to be a part of that, they should email you and let you know.
That'd be great. I'll keep a running list and just email. You all have my email at support@red-hot-coffee.com.
And then the second thing I want to mention is I have a resource to recommend that I worked out with you so you could offer it to folks who wanted it. I did several years ago a series of last ever specialized boot camps on different topics. One of them was on the consulting and the coaching business, and so we did a very sophisticated and in-depth multi-day boot camp all about the consulting and the coaching business. We had hundreds of people there. They paid between $3,000 and $5,000 a piece to be there. I did most of it, but I brought in five or six guest speakers. We had Steve Miller, who's a top consultant to the trade show industry. We had Craig Proctor, who's got the largest coaching program I know of that is all group delivery, all telephone delivery, $847 a month, and at peak, nearly 1,000 people in the program. I had Summers White there, who's a top consultant in the financial category and is really great at running a great lifestyle business. Everybody comes to him. He doesn't like to work a full day, so they have to come and camp out for 2 days and take half a day off each time. He takes 4 months off and goes to Europe each year and lives over there. I have Joe Polish, who's been a client of mine for years, and in the carpet cleaning industry has a coaching program with over 100 people and it paying $10,000 a year. And also provides prefab marketing campaigns to that industry. And so each of them did a show and tell of what they do and how they do it. We taped the whole thing, of course. And so there is a consulting and coaching business boot camp in a box with everything on audio CDs, transcripts, the same reference manual that was used at the boot camp itself, and the giant sample book that was handed out at the boot camp itself. And that alone is worth more than the cost of admission. Because it has everybody's sales letters, ads, marketing documents, faxes, some of their contracts, all of the samples of the marketing materials they use in their consulting businesses and in their coaching businesses, as well as mine. If you go to the publisher, if you go to Dan Kennedy Web Store to get it, you'll find it priced at $1,997. And I would argue that it's a bargain at twice that. But Lori's arranged for everybody on this teleclass to get it at a $600 price break. That offer is good through only 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The discount just to make about makes your whole teleclass free.
Right.
And you'll get as free gifts an unedited recording of tonight's call and a copy of my No BS sales book and No BS time management book, which I would like you to read before the next call. And we will FedEx those bonuses out to you from my office. So if you get from what we've been talking about tonight the whole expansion and redefinition of your role, then the consulting and coaching business is really the umbrella under which you operate as a copywriter. And this is the most relevant resource I have for you, and I'm happy to make it available to you at the big price break. And 2 payment installments are okay.
That's so awesome, because you're right. We really are much more consultants than copywriters. It's such it's a different mindset. It's really awesome.
And so could you tell them where to go take care of this?
Yes. It's at my website at www.red-hot-coffee.com/dkdiscount.htm, dkdiscount.htm. And I will actually send out an email tomorrow when I give you the summary that will have it there as well. But it's only up till 3 o'clock because Dan's mean, and he won't let me keep it up any longer than that. And so I promised him I'd take it down after 3 o'clock tomorrow. But it's at red-hot-coffee.com/dkdiscount.htm. Also, when I send you out the checklist of the contract items, our summary notes for tomorrow, the audio of this class will also be posted in MP3s, and I'll remind you of that link, but it's just till 3 p.m. tomorrow. So, contracts.
Okay. There's 6 contract issues that are the biggies, and so I'll go through those. One is what appears in mine as description of project or projects. And the key here is specifics. This is literally the list of what they're getting. And so if it's a long form sales letter and 3 follow-up steps and a teleseminar script and 4 follow-up faxes, it's all listed there. And then there may even be more detail in an appendix. And sometimes I'll even make a transcript of our telephone conversation or our in-person meeting, the portion of it where we are discussing the project. I'll even make that an appendix to the agreement so that everything they're getting is spelled out. And then the second biggie is a category I call continuing advice and services. And this is about... For me, it's largely about describing, defining, and limiting their access. This is where you put how they're going to work with you, what they're going to get in addition to copy, and what they're not going to get in addition to copy. So in my case, for example, there's language that tells them I work only by telephone appointment. You can't pick up the phone, call me, catch as catch can, and talk to me. There's usually a 10 to 15 day delay from the time you request a phone appointment to the time that you get it. And all of that is in the agreement. These two items are about preventing disputes by preventing misunderstandings. Because people a month, 2 months, 3 months after you've begun working with them are not going to remember the conversation you had. But they've got a copy of the agreement and they signed it. And if you have to refer to it, you can. The third big contract item is ownership. Who owns the work? And this varies a lot, but I'll give you a few examples. One is a lot of contracts are pure work for hire. And so all rights, all ownership, and all copyrights are the client's. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. Or if you're going to put little caveats in it. So, for example, most of my contracts are work for hire. They own the work. They own the copyrights, sometimes within defined areas of use. However, I have language that lets me always use the same stuff as examples in my newsletters, seminars, speeches, books, and courses. So I can take client work, for example, and put it in that giant sample book I just discussed and give it to you. And if I didn't have that in my agreements, I couldn't. Then there's local or by industry defined use where you might want to retain certain rights. Again, sometimes this is as important to the beginner as it is to the experienced pro, and it's really important if you're creating stuff for a local client that has the potential to be used by clients in other parts of the country or the world. And then it's no skin off the client's nose to have you retain the rights outside of his market areas. Sometimes it may be for a specific industry, and I'll retain the rights to use it outside of his industry.